Praise the Lord. I'm on.
Preach it, Lord.
Okay. Praise God. Turn up the volume a little.
Laboratories of tomorrow.
Houston now controlling.
Houston, Atlantis, roll program.
Roger, roll, Atlantis.
Atlantis says roll maneuver is complete. The orbiter's in a heads-down position, on course for a 51.6 degree, 137 by 36 statute.
My sermon today focuses on taking all of us on a trip out of this world. A friend of mine is going to read a chapter in the Bible, John chapter 17. His name is Alexander Scorby. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's a phenomenal communicator. And as he reads the scripture, I would like everyone here to just sit back and listen very carefully and listen to where Jesus makes a clear distinction between being in the world and being of the world. And another thing to listen to very clearly is Jesus brings all of us individually into this scripture, into this verse. So listen carefully and enjoy this.
Chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
John chapter 17, verses 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And 17:14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. It's kind of confusing. He first communicates clearly that they are in the world, and then he communicates clearly they are not in the world. John 17, 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So it's a little confusing being in the world and not of the world, but it'll be cleared up in this service today. The other part that was what included every one of us, where Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's us. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That's us. To be one with Jesus. Amen. If we are not in the world, or if we are in the world but not of the world, that sounds confusing. What does that actually mean? Let's go back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven here on earth when he was born in Bethlehem. A requirement to enter into the kingdom of heaven on earth is to humbly relearn life with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are in the world, but not of the world, because we as believers have entered into the kingdom of heaven on earth. Matthew 18:4, whosoever shall therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we became little children again, spiritually speaking. Even if we're adults, it doesn't matter. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we become like a child again, and we need to relearn how to live life in this temporal existence in a way that glorifies the Lord. Amen? The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual dwelling place. It's not like a building or something on earth where you can go and it's a spiritual dwelling place. My home that I live in, if I was able to tell you the story of literally my physical home, you would see a miracle in my life. And that home, we've lived there for 45 years, okay? and our children grew up in that home. And the home, I look at it as this, and maybe you look at your home the same way, as being the closest place on earth, the closest place to heaven on earth. That's what my home is like. It's been that way ever since I've had it. I was saved before I entered into that home, shortly before. But that home has been the closest place to heaven on earth. And my marriage to my wife has been the closest relationship to heaven on earth. I hope your marriage is the same way. To live in the kingdom of heaven, you need to have the right attitude. So let's take a look. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When I first read this scripture, actually, through many years, I've looked at this scripture and I go, I don't understand this. To be poor in everything is not a positive thing in my mind. But the truth is, to be poor in spirit is a very positive thing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So let's take a look real quickly through the 8 Beatitudes. First one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that is the one I'm going to focus on in this service today. 2 is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. 3, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. 4, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. 6, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 7, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs shall be called they should be called the children of God. And 8, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The interesting thing that really I just recently realized in this chapter is the first and the 8th attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Both are an immediate entrance into the kingdom of heaven on earth. When you look at all of the other Beatitudes, they're all in a future tense. For example, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. All the rest of the Beatitudes are like future tense. These things will happen as we live according to these blessings. But the one I want to focus on today is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now. Amen. To be poor in spirit is actually a positive thing. We need to click into that gear. So let's go back into the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Isaiah, an anointed prophet of God, eloquent in speech, whose ministry was known throughout the land, saw God in a vision. In Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 5, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. It's a type of angel. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Isaiah, in another words, was saying, "I am poor in spirit." For he was undone. In a moment, Isaiah, a holy man, one who has seen many visions, a servant of God, and in the presence of God, realized he is undone. Or Isaiah realized in the presence of Almighty God that he is poor in spirit. Woe is me, for I am undone. The first beatitude for a believer in order to dwell in the kingdom of heaven on earth is to have and to be poor in spirit in relationship with a beyond understanding holy God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Acts 17, 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." 2 Corinthians 12, 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Ephesians 3:16, "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man." Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Amen. James 4:10, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." There are so many scriptures that communicate clearly that we are poor in spirit in the sight of a holy God. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit is not a bad thing. It's simply a fact for every believer. It's a humbling fact. To realize what it means to be poor in spirit is the first key to dwell in the kingdom of heaven now. Becoming poor in spirit goes against the grain of our self-affirming culture that we live in. Express yourself. Believe in yourself. And as parents, teachers, counselors, politicians, and advertisers tell us how great we are. Wisdom calls us to trust in God and doubt ourselves. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The teachings of Jesus does not say believe in yourself. The teachings of Jesus says believe in God, believe in me. A person without a relationship with God can say, I can do it. I can handle this. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, every thought, every word, every action is to be based on that relationship. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. A person with a relationship with God will say, with God, I can do it. With God, I can handle anything. Mark 10:27 says, and Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not for God, for with God all things are possible. There's such a fine line between a real relationship with God or without God. It can be intimate and consistent, or it can just be occasional. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In James 4:10, humble yourself before the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift us up. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The problem is, the blessings that come from a humble attitude of being poor in the spirit can slowly, over a period of time, make it difficult to remain poor in the spirit. In my life, many blessings came into my life. I became a new Christian. Things started happening, and blessing after blessing came into my life, and I could talk on the individual blessings for a week. And over a period of a time, sometimes you think you're really something. But it's God who makes the difference in our lives. People who are poor in spirit As Isaiah put it, I am undone in the presence of a holy God. I think about God a lot, pretty much every day, pretty much 10, 12 hours of the day. Sometimes I think about God all day. Sometimes when I'm laying in bed and I think about God created the world and everything in it. Wait a minute. He created the heavens too. Wait a minute. He created the universe that we live in. Wait a minute. There's many other universes out there. There's many other galaxies out there. God created it all. God created me out of the dust of the ground. How great, how holy is God? Way beyond our understanding. So, if any one of us had a vision like Isaiah had, we would all be undone. In Christ, we are more than conquerors, and yet we must remain with the attitude of being poor in spirit at the same time. God will supply all of our needs. And when he does, we still need to remain with an attitude of being poor in spirit at the same time. We have been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we must remain with an attitude of being poor in spirit at the same time. The joy of the Lord is our strength, while at the same time, we need to remain humble, realizing, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
There we can see the deployment of those main parachutes. Vehicle's velocity is about 119 miles per hour.
Yeah, SpaceX Dragon, we see four chutes, and we could distinctly feel the two disreefs. It looks like final descent race.
Welcome back to Earth.
Once again. All right, as you can see there on your screen, Dragon Endurance.
We are in this world, but we're not of this world. In John 5:19, the words, maybe I'll drink a little of this. Now I see why you got this up here. The words of Jesus, he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing for himself but what he sees the Father do. Even Jesus had a sense of being poor in the spirit in that moment.